Hey, stranger. Hello to everyone listening. My name is Thoraya. This is the Hey Stranger podcast. And before we start, let me set the scene for you. I'm currently sitting in a chair at my local park, which also happens to be one of the biggest tourist attractions in my city. Across from me is an empty chair, and on today's and every episode, that empty chair will be filled one by one by people of different backgrounds, mindsets, and walks of life. The only criteria is that they are a stranger.
It sounds different once you have the headphones on, huh?
Yes.
All right. You ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Do you have a secret you'd be willing to share with us?
I guess I'd say one secret. I mean, I've told some people, but it's like I haven't really like told like the whole world that like I have obsessive compulsive disorder, like OCD. The actual disorder, like not like, oh, I'm so OCD.
What does it entail for you? Can you give us examples?
Yeah. Okay. So like, it's not so much physical, because I feel like when people think of OCD, they think like her kitchen has to be immaculate. There can't be a speck of dirt on the floor. She's a germaphobe. She washes her hands 5 times at once. And it's like, I'm a messy ass bitch. Like, I got clothes everywhere. And not to say like those people do exist. They do exist and they are out there. But I feel like that just barely scratches the surface of like what the disorder is and like how much like stress and like anxiety it brings to your life, because it's just like a bunch of like intrusive thoughts, just crazy ass like, for example, one big one that I still have today, it's like I can't shake it, is like I'll be driving and then like I hit a bump and I'm like, was that a person, is that, I think I might have hit a person, was that a car, did I hit somebody's car, oh my god, let me go back around the block and check, let me check, you know. And I check and I'm like, let me check one more time, okay, like maybe it was like a little before that, and then one more time just be sure, and then I check one more time to be sure, and then I go home and then I'm like, let me check the news, like let me be sure there's like no hit and runs, you know, the police are out for me. Like every time I hear a siren, I'm like, oh my god, I hit someone. I've never hit somebody. It's kind of like your brain doesn't feel like the action is like completed. It's kind of like a maybe like a itch, like you scratch the itch, but it's like the itch, like it's like almost gone, but it's like it's still kind of there. Let me just keep scratching it. And it's like you keep scratching it, but then when you keep scratching it, that makes it more irritated, if that makes sense. So it's like the best way to deal with the stuff is to not check. Like that's what you're supposed to do, not check. Example of another one is maybe like, you know, you're at a party and like when your friend's like, oh, I'm going to go get you a drink. Right, and you're like, okay, yeah, sure. And then like they're coming back with the drink and you're like, what if it's poison? What if they put something in it? What if like when they were walking, like I don't know, someone dropped something in it like accidentally? What if there's like something in it, you know? And so you get the drink, you're like, oh my god, thanks. And then like when they're not looking, you go to the sink and pour it out. And then you get another drink. And then you get that drink, and then like maybe someone taps you on the shoulder and you're like, hey, and you look back and you're like, I wonder if someone put something in a drink. I mean, there's no one around me right now, but like, it's possible. Somebody could just ran up and put something in my drink. I don't know. Let me just get another one just to be sure. But it's like stuff that's like really, like you wouldn't notice that. Like you could do that at a party. Like you're just like, oh, she's getting another drink. Maybe there's something like, you know, in her drink, or like nobody would think twice about it.
Yeah,
you getting another drink, or like people aren't paying attention, so you just keep doing that. But it's like you can't tell your friend that you think that they drug a drink or something. Like they'd be like, I would never do that. I'm like, I logically know you would never do that, but it's just like I just need to like just make sure, just be sure that like, you know, nothing ended up in it. It's so stupid.
Have you told any of your friends?
Yeah, like my close friends know, and finally let my parents know, but they don't really. They're just kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, they were just kind of like, why do you need to be on medication? Like, just go to therapy, get it, like fix it that way. But like, I was just getting to a point where it's like I'm not functioning. I feel like I'm not functioning like as a human being. Like I'm late to everything. I'm because like you're doing stupid shit. Like you're going back and checking the doors locked like 4 times, or you're like doubling back because you think you hit somebody. And it's like you can't sleep because you're thinking, you're like, oh my god, earlier today did I accidentally say this, oh my god, I said that, or it's like your brain is just like, oh, what if you just drove off the highway right now? Just do it. Just do it. And you're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I have no desire to do that. It's just you're constantly just like in a battle with your brain. It's just tiring. Well, I think that's also like in the Black community, like just in general, like mental illnesses aren't really talked about. And I think just in general, if you're anything more than just like anxious and depressed, like people don't know what to do with that. They don't. You're just like, oh, that sounds kind of, that sounds like a lot. That's a lot going on. So good luck with that. Especially when I was younger, trying to like work through all the shit in my head. That's what stuck with me, was just like, you know, I'm always just the odd person out. I'm always the odd person out. You know, you're always thinking about that in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong with me. But it's like nowadays, I'm just like, look, I'm a weird ass bitch. I'm gonna just be out here doing hot girl shit. I don't really care what y'all are doing, but I'm going to do me, spread positivity, and do hot girl shit.
What's been the most beautiful part of your journey, and what's been the most painful part of your journey? If you could use specific answers as opposed to like general answers.
Painful. I mean, like the whole experience was just kind of painful, because it's just like you're beating yourself up for having these thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
You're just having like a war with your mind. I think like the best analogy I gave is just like, I'm in the car, right? And I'm in the back seat. And it's like anxiety is in the front seat, and OCD is in the passenger seat, and I'm in the back seat, like, and OCD is like, drive it off a cliff, and the anxiety is like, no, I would never do that, like, why would you do that, you don't want to do that, and they're just like fighting, and I'm in the back like, hey, like, I'm trying to go to the grocery store, like, and you know, they're just fighting, like, drive it off a cliff, and the anxiety like, no, like, You would never do that. You would never do that to your family. And then it's like depression's in the trunk, and it's just like holding on your shoulder. And it's like, girl, like just relax. Mm. You know. And I think that's also like a thing I feel like about depression, is that like I feel like at first when it's coming on, it kind of feels like an embrace. Like it's kind of like, oh, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, chill out. Just hang out in the back seat. And then they're arguing in the front seat, and they're just like, they just have control of my life, and I'm just like immobilized in the back seat. I'm like, okay, well, they're just controlling everything. I want to get to a point where I'm in the driver's seat, because it's like I know that these are never going to go away. I'm going to have this issues for the rest of my life. This is just how my brain is wired. But it's like I want to be in the front seat. I want them to be backseat drivers, okay? They're just all in the backseat. And they're like, drive a clue. I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to the grocery store. Just gonna make it to the grocery store and we'll be all right. And right now I think I'm in the passenger seat, so I can grab the wheel.
Oh, there you go. So you worked your way
I'm
up.
I'm working my way up. So I'm in the passenger seat. Like, I got trying to wrestle the wheel away. Wow. From anxiety, but yeah, I mean, it's just trying to get to that point where I'm in control, or, you know, I guess I was in control the whole time, but it's like having a firmer grip,
right,
on like my brain telling me stupid shit and me pushing through that, you right. know. And so, I mean, I guess that's the, I guess the both painful and the, like, what was the other
one? Most beautiful.
Most beautiful is just, like, wow. Like, it's, like, I've learned so much about myself. And it's just, like, you know, I can be in control. Like, I, with, like, help, like, I can get control of my situation. I can, like, reach forward and, you know, be the baddest bitch I can be.
There you go. Wow. Wow. I'm really glad you talked about it, because I, like you said, the silent part of OCD isn't talked about, because I had no clue about that.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I remember you asking him, I overheard you asking him what your favorite stranger story was.
Oh yeah, who's one stranger you still remember? Yeah, do you have one?
I do.
Tell me, please.
I feel like I always just like meet wild people. Something about my face, maybe my personality, because like I'm just like, oh, okay, all right. The most wild experience of my life. I was in Spain at like leaving my host mom's house. I was meeting a friend in Portugal, right, mm-hmm. in Lisbon. And there was this overnight train. So I get on the train, and first off, I'm on it's like this rickety old train, okay? And I sit down, and you have a science teacher. I sit down to this like old woman, and she's just like all bundled up. She has like a bunch of blankets on her, and she's just like this, like sleeping. And there's like this African lady, right? And like I sit down like next to them. And then there's like a big bump in the train, and then a suitcase falls down, and it falls down, and the African like jumps up and starts yelling at the the lady sitting here. I'm in the middle, and she's on the aisle, and she starts yelling at the lady in like Portuguese over me, and they're just like screaming at each other.
Why was she yelling at?
I don't know. I guess the luggage, maybe there was beef before this. So they're screaming and the luggage is on the ground, right? So then next stop comes and the black lady just like screams and just gets off the train. I'm like, okay, we're not even in Portugal yet, but okay. She gets off the train, and then the lady like sitting next to me, like, she's like, Italiano, Espanol, Inglés, Frances. I'm like, English? And she's like, oh, I just cannot believe what just happened. What's your name? And I'm like, Shelby? She's like, I don't remember her name. I'm so sad, but it was something like Barry, just like Italian. And she's like, you know, I was once a young, pretty girl like you. Where are you from? I was like, America. And then from there, she just told me her whole life story. She was like, I used to work in the brothels in Milan, and I was working in the brothels, and I would have sex with men day after day, and then I would strip slowly. And this is like a 75-year-old woman, y'all. Mind you, it's like midnight. I am tired. I went to class today.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I thought I was just going to sleep the whole time and wake up in Lisbon. She's telling me like 2 hours just about the brothels and having sex with executives for money. It's like, part of me, I'm like, this is interesting, but I'm also exhausted. Like, and then the train breaks down.
Oh no.
It's 1 a.m. Train breaks down. We're in the middle of Portugal. I don't know any Portuguese. And we're sitting there. And then like everyone just suddenly just starts getting up and getting out of the train. Like I hear like something in Portuguese on the train. I'm like, what's happening? She's like, oh yeah, the train's broken down, so we're gonna have to get a bus. And so we all get in this bus, and I'm sitting next to her, and she's still telling me about her whole life story.
On the bus too.
It's 3 a.m. at this point. My phone's dead. We are speeding at 80 miles an hour through the Portuguese wilderness, like in the middle of like the border of like Spain and Portugal. Like past that, it's just like there's nothing there. It's just prairies. In the bus, there's no seatbelts. The bus driver's going like 80 miles an hour. She's just talking my ear off about sucking and I'm just like, what is happening? Why am I here? So we get on another train, and then me and her, and she has all the stuff, and she has like all of these bags, and then so like we're like,
was her bag the one that fell?
Yes.
Oh god.
And we get on the train, she rushes onto the train, she's like, come on Shelby. Well, Shelby, come on. And she has all these bags. And then, like, we're supposed to sit in the assigned seats that we were on the other train. She picks, like, a random seat, and it's, like, a four-seater train. And she puts all her bags, like, on all the chairs, and, like, leaves one for me. She's like,
sit. And then, like, she's like, you know, and it kicks her libido up on the chair. And it's like, this is a full train. And I'm just sitting there. And, it, like, a black Portuguese family comes up. And they're like, they said in Spanish, but they're like, that's our seat. And she's like, no, it is my seat now. I have sat down. This is my seat. This is where I am sitting. This is a terrible Italian accent. I don't even know what accent this is, but you know what?
It's working.
This is my seat. And she kicks her feet up. No, we got here first. This is a new train, new seats. And they're just standing there, just arguing over me. I'm like, I will move. They're like, you are with her? I was like, I'm not with her. Finally, they give up and just sit next to us, and they're just glaring at us like the whole ride. I pass out maybe for like an hour and a half. She finally passed out. I was like, Oh, thank God. Then we wake, and she's like, shakes me awake at like 6 a.m. She's like, the meal cart is open. And then I ended up in Lisbon at 7 a.m. on an hour of sleep. And her man picked her up in the limousine. This old woman, she's like 75.
How'd you say bye to her? How did that?
I was just like, she's like, goodbye, my friend. And she just gives me a huge hug. And she's like, goodbye. And then she just like grabs all her stuff like we were just on a 9-hour trip of hell on a rickety train that's like shaking, and she's just like, just full of energy, like nothing happened.
I have to say one thing though, you're a great storyteller.
Oh, thank you.
You should like try to do something with that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I've actually wrote a screenplay. Essentially, it's a story about a black football player that turns into a mermaid.
Okay.
And just madness ensues. He's just like this teenage guy, and he finds out that he's a mermaid.
Wasn't there a Disney movie where a guy turns into a mermaid?
Yeah, 13th year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, and then that's what someone said. They were like, it's too similar to that. I was like, the only similar thing is that they're both guys and they're both mermaids. That is the only thing. Yeah. I was like, I just want more positive black stories in the media, because I feel like I just see so much just like trauma, and it's like slave movie, woman down her luck. And it's like, I just want something positive. Like, I just want black people being mermaids and being strict that they were mermaids. Like,
you want to put your where people could contact you for the screenplay if they want to work with you?
Oh, yeah, sure. So hit me up on A Shell Babe.
How do you spell that?
A-Y-S-H-E-L-B-A-Y-B-A-Y.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Of course. Good thank job. You. Yay. Woo. Yay.
Thanks for doing that.
No, thanks
that
for having
story
me.
Story got me. Oh, my God.
And that is it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Before you go, I do have a huge favor to ask. Because my podcast is so new and there are so many amazing podcasts out there, the best way you can help me stand out and grow is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. This podcast is available on other platforms as well, like Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and many others. So following and subscribing on there will help also, but again, the best thing you can do is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. I hope you'll consider doing it. I'll make sure to have my podcast links in the description. To make it fun, I thought it would be cool for you all to answer the following question under hopefully a 5-star review. Who's one stranger you still remember? I'll read through all your answers, share some on my Instagram story. So if you want me to tag you, please make sure to include your Instagram handle as well. My Instagram handle is actually thor.aya. Thank you so much. I love you all, and we'll meet again next Tuesday.